But right now, I'd like to welcome back to the program Craig Aaron. He's Managing Director of the Media Reform Group, Free Press. Craig, thanks for being here tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me back.
Craig, we have been following the battles over net neutrality for quite some time with you and other representatives of Free Press and other groups. And it seems like things are finally coming to a head, both with the FCC not really pushing for protections for net neutrality that their chairman at least had given lip service to, and this recent announcement that I know many of our listeners know about by Google and Verizon. They've come forward today to announce a joint policy proposal to charge Internet content providers higher fees for faster delivery speeds on what they're calling a new private Internet. And at the same time, these two companies say they both support net neutrality on the public Internet and back FCC rules and fines to enforce net neutrality. It's a confusing lot of stuff they dropped today, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. I think that was a great summary of everything that's going on. But it is an interesting moment for those who have been following it and even those who haven't, who are just finding out about this issue of net neutrality. For those who don't know, net neutrality is that fundamental principle. It's always been part of the Internet, and it allows you, when you go online, to do whatever you want, go wherever you want, download whatever you want, and it's not up to your Internet service provider to decide which websites are going to work and which aren't. I think what's so harrowing about this proposal that Google and Verizon have put together is that it really would transform and really end the open Internet as we know it. You know, they paid, I think your word was lip service, maybe that was directed at the FCC chairman, but it applies to Google and Verizon as well. You know, they paid lip service to the notion of an open Internet, promising, you know, that they wouldn't mess with the Internet that we have now. But what they're proposing would really transform the Internet experience for a lot of people. So basically what they've done is put out this policy framework, essentially, you know, a document that they're trying to sell Congress and to a certain degree the FCC on as, you know, here's these two big companies that have gotten together, one, Google, that has historically supported net neutrality, one, Verizon, that has been one of the strongest opponents of net neutrality, and they're passing it off as a compromise. But it's really a raw deal for consumers for a couple of reasons. One is they're proposing no protections for the Internet when it's accessed on wireless networks. So it would be as if you could get one Internet from your home connection, but you want to get the other. If you want to use your phone, and increasingly, of course, so many of us are going to be getting to the Internet that way, forget it. They can block, discriminate, mess with the content however they see fit under this proposal. Another thing they would do is, as you talked about, this sort of private Internet. They keep saying, oh, we're going to support the public Internet. We're really for that. But they're opening the door essentially to push all the investment into a new fast lane. So if you sort of imagine the information superhighway, they're looking to build out their own private toll road where big companies like Verizon and Google and Comcast and all the rest, you know, would be able to ply their wares and push their content and develop their new applications. But when it comes to everybody else, you know, we get stuck back on the winding dirt road. It would be like if I told you, Scott, that, you know, hey, great, put whatever you want up on your website, but people can only get to it with dial-up speeds. So, you know, sorry if they can't stream the program, sorry if they can't listen, but you only get dial-up. I'm going to be operating in broadband. That's basically what Google and Verizon are proposing to the rest of us. Like, hey, we're going to be over here on the private Internet doing our thing, and whatever you guys have now, well, hope that's good enough. So, you know, this is really not a good deal for consumers. You know, moreover, they've proposed essentially that the FCC should have no authority to make rules, that basically they could, you know, sort of answer consumer complaints, but wouldn't be in a position to set the rules of the road for everyone, which is supposed to be the FCC's job. So I think this Google-Verizon pact is really dangerous, the upside being maybe it's waking people up to the fact that net neutrality is still in danger, and despite the promises of the Obama administration and the chairman of the FCC, they still haven't delivered in terms of protecting the free and open Internet.
It's always good to, I think, frame this debate about net neutrality and what would happen to, let's say, a specific content provider if they don't have the money to enter this new pay-to-play game on the so-called private Internet. So, for instance, let's say this radio station provides a service on the Internet now, as we do. What would become of a public nonprofit organization that, let's say, could not afford to be on the private Internet? Would it really be marginalized, or
I think it would be, because essentially it would be a second-class Internet that they'd be offered. You know, if you open the door, so ideally what we would have is you know, let's make the pipe bigger for everybody. You know, everybody gets faster speeds, and then, you know, if your radio station decides they want to really invest in the, you know, the online presence and really improve it and attract a whole lot of listeners, you know, you have that ability. The problem with creating this side, you know, this private Internet, is that only a few select big companies are going to get a chance at that spot in the fast lane. And if you're not one of those companies, you're never going to get the opportunity to get in there because, A, they don't want the competition, and, B, you're not going to be able to build up that audience. It's just like if, you know, if we both have a website and mine has all the bells and whistles and you can get to it five times faster than yours, my website's going to be better, and no matter what you do to your website. I'm simply not going to go there. And, you know, that's essentially what they're setting up is an Internet in which they get to pick the winners and losers, in which the big ISPs in league with the biggest content companies, you know, decide which websites are going to thrive and which ones are, you know, not going to be seen by anyone. That's never been the way the Internet's worked, but that's essentially what they're proposing to do.
We're speaking with Craig Aaron tonight on Counterpoint, Managing Director of the Media Reform Group, Free Press. And, Craig, what's the effect of exempting wireless Internet, given, as you said before, that the wireless Internet is probably the future of the entire Internet, because that's probably the way technology is going to bring everybody's access through wireless?
Right. Now, yeah, I think you're right. And this is specifically, of course, you know, the cell phone, the mobile companies, and the way, you know, increasingly so many of us are getting online using our phones. So this is really, I mean, I think this has to be a deal breaker for anybody at the FCC, because essentially you're carving out the future of the Internet and you're saying, well, you know, you haven't invested in your capacity, wireless companies, and your users sure have a lot of demand. We're not going to include you in these rules. And I think it's a real danger of creating two Internets. And of course, again, you know, driving people just to the biggest companies, just to the biggest content providers, whereas with the free and open Internet, as we've come to, you know, really treasure it, you know, I can go online with my iPhone. You know, Apple may limit the applications I can put on that iPhone, but I can still get to the Internet, meaning I can get to any website, and you know, almost any application. It'd be better if I could get to any application, but I can get to, you know, pretty much anywhere I want to go, and that should be the direction we should be moving in. When you exempt wireless from this, and this is the top line item in this deal, because it's no secret that Google is, you know, has a very lucrative deal with Verizon to push the Android operating system. So that's how this whole pact got started, is that these guys, Verizon and Google, got in bed together, and this is the result of that. And I think it's, you know, really dangerous, because so many of us, you know, are going to be using those wireless, you know, the whole wireless realm has incredible opportunities for reaching new audiences. There was a story in the New York Times last week about how, especially in communities of color, you know, most people's Internet connections increasingly are coming through a mobile connection. And we'd be saying, you know, essentially, well, you can't get the entire Internet. You can only get the Internet that's been approved by your carrier. And furthermore, it sets up an Internet where, you know, maybe I have, I have AT&T phone service. Well, maybe I can get to certain sites and services, but there's other things that are cut off from me. Only Verizon people can get to, or only Comcast customers can get to, or I can get to certain things at home, but I can't get to them from my phone. And suddenly we have this sort of balkanized Internet that is never the way the Internet was intended to work, and frankly cuts off those independent voices, those upstart voices, small businesses, and any innovators who would come in and potentially challenge the dominant service providers, the dominant content companies. They're not going to ever get a chance to get that foothold they need to find that mass audience.
Craig, discuss for us, if you would, the role of the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC. There was a recent court decision which, in the eyes of many, handicapped the FCC's ability to regulate broadband Internet services. But there has been at least some statements by the FCC chair, Julius Genachowski, that he would like to regulate broadband Internet and maintain net neutrality through rules, regulations, and fines.
Yes, as you note, he said some great things. It's the actions that have been the problem for the current FCC chairman. I mean, he got into office. He'd been a key member of the Obama campaign. Net neutrality was the top item on their technology agenda. He gave a very powerful speech almost a year ago at the Brookings Institution, laying out his vision for the open Internet, an excellent speech, a great vision. It sounded like he was going to do all the right things, and he hasn't delivered on them. And you're also right that the federal court case has really complicated things. To bring your listeners up to speed a bit, you know, what happened is our group actually had filed a complaint against Comcast, the big cable company, for illegally blocking lawful Internet traffic, in this case the BitTorrent file sharing application. Comcast was found blocking the Internet, eventually had to admit what they were doing. The FCC went to sanction them. In fact, they didn't even fine them. They just forced them to stop the blocking and expose what they'd been doing. And from there, the Comcast sues the FCC, goes to the federal courts. The federal courts side with Comcast for a sort of a complicated reason that involved the fact that the Bush-era FCC had actually changed the way broadband was regulated and given up the FCC's authority. So the court says, look, FCC, you don't have the authority. That throws it actually back to the FCC, which has in their power, Julius Genachowski has in his power, the ability to say, you know what, we are going to reclassify broadband. We're going to regulate it the way we always did before the Bush years, and that's going to allow us to protect Internet users. They started down that road. They got a lot of pushback from the powerful phone and cable lobby. They started to waver. Then they were pushed back by the public interest community and came up with what was called a third way, which was essentially a very narrow, what's called reclassification, but then they haven't delivered on that. And so instead of moving forward with these rules, what they did is they started trying to have side closed-door negotiations with the biggest phone and cable companies and the biggest content companies like Google. Those negotiations have now been called off partly because of this Verizon-Google deal. But I think if the FCC had really stepped into the void much earlier, been much clearer about what they were going to do, we wouldn't really be in the mess we're in now, although the irony being that that mess may actually push the FCC to take action again. So it's a strange moment, and it's complicated even further by Congress, where AT&T, Comcast, these big companies spend, you know, more on lobbying and campaign contributions than any industry except for the drug industry. They're a huge presence on Capitol Hill, and they've been able to convince dozens and dozens of members of Congress, Republicans and Democrats alike, to write to the FCC and say, don't do this reclassification thing. So we've sort of entered this stalemate. Verizon and Google are trying to get in there with their version, which to me is completely unacceptable, and we seem to be starting on the carousel again here, trying to get the FCC to do what they've promised to do, and frankly, what they have the votes to do. You know, the chairman of the FCC has a majority, the Democrats have a majority on the commission, they just need to take action, but for various reasons, political and otherwise, they haven't done so.
As you mentioned, members of Congress, many of them have great debts they owe to the giant telecommunications industry, who provide lots, you know, tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars in campaign contributions. Ultimately, who holds the trump card between those in Congress who are doing the bidding of the telecom companies and the FCC and chairman who say they want to do the right thing regarding the net neutrality?
Well, you know, as so often it is in politics, you know, it's not a clear-cut situation. Certainly the FCC can look over at Congress and say, oh, look, all the Republicans and even a lot of the Democrats have said, don't do this, so maybe we shouldn't do it. But, of course, the FCC is an independent agency, and at the same time they can look to the White House, where Barack Obama has said he's going to take a backseat to no one on this issue. They can look to the congressional leadership, where Nancy Pelosi and Henry Waxman and, you know, all these other, Harry Reid, have said, you know, oh, we're for net neutrality, we're for the open Internet. So you can sort of pick and choose who you decide to do it. Now, look, the FCC, there's a political cost. If they do what I would call the right thing, if they reclassify broadband, there is going to be incoming from the telecom companies. There's going to be incoming from the Hill. On the other hand, if they had actually seized this bully pulpit, if they'd actually taken decisive action, I think a lot of members of Congress and educated those members of Congress, you know, they'd be getting behind what the FCC is going to do. But instead, they've allowed this sort of vacuum to appear, and into that come these kind of proposals that Google and Verizon have put out. They come, you know, crazy ideas off the Hill and threats to defund the FCC. In Washington D.C., you know, people can sense when you're wavering or you're not acting decisively. And unfortunately, I think the FCC chairman, despite saying some great things about the open internet, has walked right into that. You know, nobody said it was going to be easy to take on the biggest phone and cable companies. But in this case, it's the right policy. It's the right thing to do. And in the long run, it's going to have, you know, the greatest economic and democratic benefit. So that's the kind of tough decisions you have to make when you assume the big chair over there.
We're speaking with Craig Aaron, Managing Director of the Media Reform Group, Free Press. And, Craig, do we have any idea where public opinion is on net neutrality today? It's certainly, not on everybody's tip of their tongue, but I know you guys have done a real heavy effort to educate the public on what's at stake with net neutrality, but has it made some difference? Are people now more aware?
It's made a difference. Look, I'm not going to pretend that net neutrality is yet a household issue. it's not quite up there with things we've been talking about for 20, 30 years. It's got some very technical aspects. It can be complex and confusing. But a lot more people know about net neutrality than we ever thought we'd be talking about it when we started this whole conversation. I was probably first on the show back in, 2006. And we've seen a tremendous response among those who do know about the issue, just here in the last few days. I mean, when the news broke in the New York Times, that Google and Verizon were cutting this side deal, the response has been overwhelming. I mean, we've seen, along with our close allies we've been working with, 300,000 people sign petitions to Google saying, live up to your motto and don't be evil. We've seen millions of people contact Congress and the FCC on this, once completely obscure issue of net neutrality that never had before. So while I don't think, people are necessarily talking about this across the kitchen table everywhere, a lot of people are starting to find out about this and starting to find out what's at stake. And, one of the things about these media policy decisions, I mean, so often these big decisions get made, and, we only look back 10, 15 years later, and like, wow, how did we end up down this road? This is one of those rare occasions where, this critical juncture, this crucial decision is actually being put out there in the light of day, and people are talking about it. The President of the United States is talking about it. And I think that's ultimately where, if we have any hope of getting this right, it's going to come from public involvement, public awareness, and, the public making themselves heard on this issue, letting their elected leaders know that, this isn't an easy one you just get a pass on. Like, we're expecting you to do the right thing and make sure the free and open Internet stays that way.
And, Craig, maybe you can sort of recap the importance of this issue overall going into the future. And what I've come to understand in the little study I've done of this topic is that in not too long a time, it seems like all of our telecommunications technology are going to morph into one box, more or less, with TV, radio, the Internet, and telephone all sort of being one appliance. And if the FCC does not regulate it now, and the big telecom and cable company industry get a hold of this thing where they're going to charge people in very unfair ways and really take people out of the running in terms of an even playing field, we're going to be in big trouble as a country, are we not?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think you've done a great job summarizing it. Those really are the stakes. The free and open Internet, any website, any blog, potentially has the reach of a television or radio network, because everything's going to be going online. I mean, it's already almost there, where you're going to be getting all of your telephone, your radio, your TV, all through that same connection. That's incredibly empowering. Where you used to have a broadcast license or a cable channel to be able to reach that kind of audience, now all you need is a laptop. But if we don't have net neutrality, then so much of that is going to be closed off. And if we allow these guys to build these divided highways where there's a fast lane for them and a dirt road for everybody else, people aren't going to be able to reach those audiences. They're not going to be able to find the wide range of content and opinions and debate that have been such a hallmark of the internet. And we can look to history. You know, we've seen it happen before. You know, back in the 30s, you know, there are all these vibrant non-commercial radio stations, and we commercialized that system. We handed those licenses. Some of those licenses are still in the same hands, you know, 80 years later. We saw it happen with cable TV. Oh, that was going to be non-commercial, and how that's been taken over, broadcast television, you know, again and again and again. And here we are at that same critical decision point with the internet about which path we're going to take. Is it going to be that amazing resource for democratic participation and economic innovation and free speech, or are we going to take that other path and turn this amazing engine into just another cable TV system where there's a few big companies that pick and choose the channels for you, and sure, there's some good entertainment and there's a couple of voices that you agree with, but the whole wealth and range of information simply isn't there. I mean, that's what I think at stake with these net neutrality debates. And even though this is one of those complex, you know, wonky issues, and we get into all these details, wired and wireless networks and all of that, you know, ultimately it's a free speech issue. And it's about whether this amazing technology that, you know, was originally developed by our government and has created so much opportunity, whether that's still going to be there, or whether we're, again, just going to give it away to a small group of companies that are looking out only for their bottom line.
Well, Craig, we're just about out of time, but do leave our listeners with maybe an action plan if they favor net neutrality, as you do, what they should do, and your internet address as well.
Well, they can go to savetheinternet.com. You'll find the whole history of the net neutrality fight there, a couple ways to take action. We have a petition going right now directed at Google, asking them to live up to that don't be evil motto. And also there's a comment deadline at the FCC this week. We're looking for public input on why the free and open internet is so important to people all across the country. We got a real simple form set up. You answer two questions, it'll file your comments with the FCC. Urge people to check that out, as well as I've just posted something on the front page of Huffington Post right now, outlining how to really read between the lines of what Google and Verizon proposed today. So I hope people, if they get the chance, will check it out, spread the word, and you know, let their members of Congress know how they feel about these media and technology issues.
Craig, thank you, as always, for being here tonight, and thanks for all your hard work on this most important issue. Appreciate it.
Always happy to do it. Thanks for staying on the story.
Thanks, Craig. Bye-bye. And that was Craig Aaron, Managing Director of the Media Reform Group Free Press.